Real Estate Radio here, 94.9 News Now, Stimulating Talk, show one of 2024. I am Byron Lazine, along with Rob Wallace of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. And we've got Brian Skelly joining us from William Ravis Mortgage. What's going on, fellas?
Not bad. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We've got a numbies show where we've got all the data in from 2023 for your Connecticut real estate market. Of course, here on Real Estate Radio, if you're new, I think this is like year eight, maybe nine of the show. We don't talk politics. We talk about real estate, your real estate market in Connecticut, your economy, how the economy, the macro impacts us here in the micro. So I'll start with the macro. Start with some of the trends that we've seen nationally. And then some that are Connecticut focused, and then we'll dig a little bit deeper into the Connecticut MLS data that we have in front of us. One thing that if you're a buyer in Connecticut, this has definitely become problem numero uno for you. And that's the lack of listings in our market. And we're going to get to Connecticut in a second. It's different than even other parts of the country, but just throughout the U.S. housing market through 2023, the housing market witnessed a sharp decrease in new listings compared to 2019. I would look at 2019 across the country, as well as, you know, here in Connecticut, as a normal real estate market.
Pre-pandemic, you'll hear that phrase thrown around on the radio a lot. Yeah.
But even just carving out that one year in particular, it was a very normal year. You know, 2018, we had that rapid increase, I think, in quarter three of the rates, rapid for those times.
Yeah. 2008 was a kind of a tough year for mortgages, I remember. 2019, yeah, pretty normal.
2019 was just pretty steady.
Middle of the road.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
There wasn't really anything crazy that happened. We really, I thought we're having a great year in Connecticut. I was going into 2020 saying, hey, we're going to continue to see some pretty positive momentum, and then the whole world changed. But that was a pretty normal year. And so, but since then, since 2019, we've had a sharp decrease in new listings. And specifically, since January of 2022, we've been at a new listing deficit every single month since that point. So that's 24 months, and that's nationwide. So missing new listings, creating a deficit, represents how many fewer new listings there were compared to the same month in 2019. So at a deficit every single month from January 22 all the way through now, when you compare to the same month in 2019. So inventory, a huge problem. Here's a little bit more context on this. In November 2023, there was a new listing deficit of 51,886 homes. Now, that is slightly down from November of 22, which was a negative 73,968 deficit. So this does suggest that maybe the peak of this problem is hopefully behind us, but it's still significant.
And I would even think that some of the buyers may not realize what a significant issue it is, because a lot of the home buyers take a break in December because of the holidays. Everybody's just like, hey, you know, let's enjoy the holidays. And so I think as some of those people that were taking a break come back in and start looking for homes again, buyers are going to now be competing with a larger buyer pool. And then they're really going to be feeling the pinch, at least until we start seeing some more homes coming on, which could be weather dependent too, you know.
And it put this into maybe easier numbers to understand. In the U.S. right now, this week, we have roughly 425,000, a little bit more, active listings, right around that number, about 425,000 active listings across the U.S. Not homes that are pending or, you know, that are active on the market available to purchase. 425,000 for a population of what? 330 million? But so 425,000 active listings. The same week in 2015, which was well past the bottoming of 11 and 12, you know, 2015 across the country was a normal market like we're talking about 2019. 2015, there was over 1.1 million active listings during this same week.
So close to almost three times as many.
Wow.
Three times as many listings during the same week.
I'm Googling it right now. There's 131 million households.
Yeah, that puts things into perspective too.
We're going to get the calculator out here. Let's see. 425,000.
I'm not talking about
we're doing this on the fly here.
0.3%
divided by 131 million households. Let's see what this is. 0.3% of households.
Wow, look at my back of the
napkin.
That was
very impressive. Wow. Very impressive.
Oh, impressed myself. But
the math was impressive. The number of houses for sale, not so much.
Number of houses for sale, not so much. Now, multiply that by a factor of 10 when you consider what's happening in Connecticut. Connecticut, lowest inventory situation of any state in the country. You look at
really?
Wow. Lowest inventory of any state. So the hardest hit regions for inventory are the Midwest and then the Northeast. And then you look deeper into the Northeast, Connecticut, Hartford, for example, down 80% on inventory.
Yeah, in Hartford County, we talk about that on the show a lot. The zip codes in Hartford County have been on the top search list for Zillow. Yeah. It was in the top 10 search list, several towns in Hartford
and
County.
They're top searches because it's like, man, there's nothing here. I just got to keep banging the search.
That's interesting, too. People are searching more.
They're searching more because they're just waiting for something to... And you've seen this reflective in prices, okay? So let me just give you a market across the country. I'll play this game out a little bit further here. Austin, Texas has been a robust market for the last decade. It's been a booming, city in America. Well, Austin, Texas, since the 2022 peak of pricing there, they're down 13.9%. Year over year, Austin, Texas pricing is down 5.5%. Now, since March 2020, including these recent downswells for Austin, since March 2020, they're still up 40.4%. Okay, but Austin, which has a ton of inventory that has been built up there, and they've got a ton of rental inventory, you see where those prices here since the 2022 peak have plummeted. Let's take Hartford, which we were just talking about. Hartford, since the 2022 peak pricing, has set a new all-time high, up 7.7%. The Hartford region, which includes East Hartford and Middletown.
That's median price you're talking about?
This Freddie Mac data that I'm looking at, is up 7.7% on home prices.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay. Now, we set our peak this year. We're actually down a tick, 1%. From the peak over the summer, but Hartford's up 49.3% since March 2020. There's another Connecticut region that's even bigger than the 7.7% since the peak of 22. And I'll give you that region when we come back. This is Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now, Stimulating Talk. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now, Stimulating Talk. Byron Lazine, Rob Wallace from the One Team, William Ravis Real Estate, with Brian Skelly with William Ravis Mortgage. Just getting into some of these macro numbers there on the first segment and breaking it down further and how it relates to Connecticut. Connecticut, out of the 50 states, has the lowest level of inventory. When you have low levels of inventory, obviously it's a positive to be a seller. And while other regions like in Austin, Texas have gone down in prices since the peak of 2022, really every Connecticut region has gone up in prices since the peak of 2022. And we just mentioned before we signed off that Hartford is up 7.7% since 2022 peak pricing. So basically setting a new all-time high this year. There's a region that beats that here in Connecticut. It's the Norwich New London region. Since the 2022 peak, Norwich New London is up 11.6% on pricing.
Really?
Year over year, up 13.8%. And since March 2020, Norwich, New London region up 58.9%. Inventory, Rob, as you know, is hard to come by in those areas.
Yeah.
I mean, you live in Griswold, my former hometown.
Yeah.
I know at one point this year, Lee on the team and I were talking about, Griswold. And I looked it up. I'm like, he's like, there's nothing available. I'm like, well, you can't say nothing. So I look up on the MLS, I do a search. There was four homes, two of them were like over $1.5 million on Pat.
And
they were way overpriced. just somebody shooting for the stars. One of them was a teardown, so a buyer really couldn't by that, and the other one was a piece of land. So there was literally no median price single family homes. There was four listings.
Literally nothing.
There were times in Griswold, you'd see small town, you'd see 60, 70 mm-hmm. listings at one time. And, you know, maybe 40 or 50 of those were actually, you know, single family homes that you could consider as an option.
Yeah. Some people got kids in school. They don't want to change school districts. So like they right. got no, there's nothing.
But yeah. there was literally, legitimately nothing on the market.
That's
to
crazy.
His point. And so when you have this, you know, plummet of inventory that we've experienced in the Northeast, which is dramatically different than what homeowners remember in 2012 and 13 in those years, just a total, you know, flip-flop from there. That's where you see these prices. And we've seen some of the biggest gains right here in Connecticut since our 2022 peak. So a seller in 2024 is going to be able to realize those gains, capitalize on those, especially if you're thinking the spring market of 24. Of course, you can reach out to us at oneteamct.com if you needed more information on that. But just going deeper into the data, New Haven, Milford up 7.3% since the 22 peak, year over year up 8.9%. You've got the Worcester part of Mass, and then coming down into that northern part of Connecticut, they kind of like have a whole region there, up 6.4%. These are Freddie Mac numbers, 6.4% from 22 peak year over year, 10.3%. That region would be 48.8% on the since March 2020. Bridgeport, Stamford, Norwalk. So really the whole shoreline of Fairfield County, 6.1% since the 2022 peak, 9.7% year over year. And then since March 2020, 50.2% increase. Just crazy, crazy numbers there.
I agree.
If we look at, let's go into some more of the data here for Connecticut. In the rolling 12 months here, homes for sale overall in Connecticut down almost 25%. If we go... And the Hartford numbers even
that's
greater
last
than
12
that.
Months, 25% yeah. decrease number of homes for sale.
Rolling 12 months, homes for sale. If we look at new listings,
it was pretty low a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. If we look at new listings, right, it's coming off of a low. We were in a starved inventory. We were talking about, hey, what can help this market? It's inventory, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I remember last spring, I mean, we were having conversations about, you know, how many people were making offers and a large percentage of them not getting their offer accepted. I mean, like I said earlier, December has been kind of nice because there wasn't a lot of buyer competition. So most of my buyers were getting their offer accepted. But, you know, if we don't see more homes for sale, that's going to change real quick as we get mm-hmm. into the spring here.
Well, we started by saying that 2019 was a normal market across the country.
I came in 2018, 2019. It was definitely a lot different, even going into 2020. But right after that, once 2020 came, 2021 starting to hit, it changed a lot.
If we look at December 2019, homes for sale in Connecticut during that month was 20,120. If we look at December 2023, now we have the data in, 6,127 homes for sale.
Wow.
So since a normal market, you're talking about
it's basically about a third of what it was.
66% decrease essentially.
Normal market, you need what, 6 months supply? And we've been hovering over two for the last 3 years.
Yeah, we look at month supply, Rob. That's a great point. 6 months supply would be a normal market. We ended in December at 2 months.
2 months, yeah.
Which we've been sitting at since May of 2022.
Okay.
While the rest of the... So we've been flat at 2 months. I actually don't think it goes lower than 2 months because the graph here... Mm-hmm. on the MLS won't allow. It's probably like 1.5 months. It just doesn't go lower than two. So it's been at the bottom. You don't even see a line. It's just been at the bottom. Since early 2022, where the rest of the country is up at about 3.8 months of inventory nationwide. You know, so sellers are in complete control, of course, that according to that data. You look at sales price. Let's look at sales for December. I'll give you single family, then we'll do condos. December came in at a median sale price of, on a 12-month rolling, $399,000. on the monthly number, just the month of December, 390,000. So last 12 months, median sale price single family homes, 399,000. Just what happened in the month of December, 390,000. You typically will get a discount in December and even maybe January than you would based off of the last 12 months. That happens every year, the seasonality of our market. I hate looking at average price points because the numbers are huge, but here you go. Average price, when you just average it out, 552,000 for the month of December. And if we look at a rolling 12, last 12 months in, as we sit here today, 568,000 on the average, but medians, maybe, I don't know, some would argue it's not the better way to look at it. I'll take a look at condos here. Right now, rolling last 12 months on condos, you're at 260,000. And just the month of December was 265,000. So same thing, that seasonality, you get a little bit of a discount by buying in December than you typically do other times of year. Pending sales in December. Let me go to all property types. I'll combine single family and condos on this one. Pending sales was 2,320. Pending sales in December of 2019 was 2,784. So really not that bad on the pending sale data. If we're taking, you know, December from a normal market to December today, certainly much different than say in August.
The houses are coming on and then they're going, you know.
Yeah. August 2020, transactions are happening. That month you saw 6,000 homes go pending. But yeah, 2,320, not that bad. I mean, it's you look at December 2010, you had 1,800. Maybe the lowest point we saw was December 2008 was 1,600.
Even though we have the lowest inventory in the country, we're still buying and selling.
Well, that's the point, right? So if there was more inventory in the market, that number would be higher. There are plenty of buyers, Rob, that you work with, and Brian, that you're obviously pre-approving from a mortgage standpoint, that are on the sidelines because they just can't find a home.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I once heard somebody use the buying a car analogy. Like if you go to the car dealer and they have 50 different cars that are the model that you like, and they're all different colors and all different trim levels, sometimes it's hard to pick, like, oh, do I want the one with the heated mirrors or the one without it? But if you go to the car dealer and there's just one car, you know, you want a Toyota Tundra and they've got one on the lot. It's like, well, this is the only one we have. Do you want it? And you're like, well, I need a truck. All right, I'll take it. You know, so that's kind of why I think things turn over when you go to look at houses and there's only one or two to pick from.
Yeah.
And you need a house, like, you know, you got a baby coming or you got a job that starts in 2 months. You know, you take what you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just had somebody is coming into the market and they're going to be getting a job at Electric Boat. And yeah, they're like, well, do you guys have anything coming on the market? You know, it's like, what's going on here? One place you never have to worry about inventory, though, is with our friends over at Service Station Equipment. They have all your needs handled when it comes to residential tanking. If you have an oil tank situation at your home that you know needs to be repaired, give Service Station Equipment a call. Maybe it's an oil tank that needs to be removed. They can handle all those jobs. They are your residential tanking specialist at Service Station Equipment. Ask for Dougie, the tank man. He's got it all figured out. Dougie, the tank man, will come over, give you a consultation, and figure out what to do with your tanking needs. 1-800-801-TANK, 1-800-801-TANK for Service Station Equipment. If you're someone who's thinking about how this housing market can help you or benefit you, or you want to get into the housing market because maybe you've got one of those lifestyle needs that Mr. Skelly just mentioned, and you want to start the conversation with financing, you can have a conversation with Brian Skelly at SchedulLoanAppointment.com, SchedulLoanAppointment.com, to speak with Brian about your mortgage needs. And if you've got real estate questions, find us at oneteamct.com, oneteamct.com. Rob can be reached directly. Is it rob.wallace?
Rob.wallace.
Rob.wallace at oneteamct.com if you want to have a conversation there. We're going to have Chaz jumping in here on the second half. We've got the Rewind brought to you by Service Station. He's got some predictions, some projections, some outlooks that maybe have been out there in the media to cover for 2024, plus more on your Connecticut housing market. This is Real Estate Radio. You're listening to 94.9 News Now.
Welcome back to CT Real Estate Radio. Chaz Cook and Rob Wallace of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate here with Brian Skelly. Did a quick little tag out with Byron and bringing in the second half of the show here, boys. What did I miss in the first half? Give me some highlights.
Well, we were chatting about sales prices and inventory from 2019 to 2023, how that's been affected, how the normal market of 2019 was a lot different than it is now, a lot more inventory.
Right.
And also then, talked about how Connecticut's a lot different than in some other parts of the state or the country. Austin, Texas is having a little bit of a decline, but in Connecticut, median home price in Hartford County was up roughly 7% in the last 12 months. New London County is up roughly 11%. So yep. If you're hoping for home prices to go down, you might have some luck if you live in Austin. If you live in Connecticut, not so much.
Is there true. An Austin? Is there an Austin, Connecticut?
No, I don't think so. I'm aware of.
Yeah, no, I know we chatted about a couple other data wrapper looked at the shift in home prices as tracked by Freddie Mac House Price Index, and they're out of the 384 metros they tracked, Connecticut had 4 on the list.
Wow.
And what they were looking at was year over year, those numbers you guys were just talking about, the 7% and 11%, but also since the peak in 2022, how much they are up, and then what are they up since March of 2020? So I'll just run through the 4 Connecticut metros that made it. We had Bridgeport, Stamford, Norwalk. They're up 6.1% since the peak in 2022, but overall since March of 2020, up 50.2%.
Wow.
Right. And next up, we've got Hartford, East Hartford, Hartford and Middletown. So they kind of group that metro together. They're up 7.7% since the peak, and obviously up 7% this year, and 49.3% since March of 2020. New Haven and Milford, Connecticut, up 7.3% since the peak, and 54.2% since March of 2020, basically when the pandemic hit and this free-for-all started.
Exactly.
And also coming up on the list is Norwich, New London, Connecticut. So we're just talking about New London County. Mm-hmm. Since the peak in 2022, they are up 11.6% and 58.9% overall since March of 2020. Can you imagine if you bought a house? I bought a house in November of 2018, and my home has appreciated almost 70% because we had a little bit of appreciation.
You're a New London County guy, right? Niantic?
I'm a New London County guy. I'm in Niantic, and 60% in the last 3 years.
Yeah, I agree. I bought mine in 2016, and same thing. Same exact thing.
Plus, then, I mean, you talk about the financing, you get what investors call leverage. You know, so if you invest $100,000, you put it in the stock market, you get a 10% rate of return. Mm-hmm. You have $110,000. But if you put $100,000 in a house and then the price of the house goes up 60%, if it was a $500,000 house, 60% increase is a $300,000 increase.
Right.
So, you know, when you get these gains in owning real estate, you're not just getting a 60% rate on a return on the $100,000 you put into it. Or some people are doing $10,000 down. I mean, if you put $10,000 down, and then, you know, the value of the house goes up $100,000.
Right.
You know, that's 1,000% rate of return on your $10,000. Well, so
that's why
one of the best investments you can make, real estate.
That's what I was going to say. Agree. They always say real estate is the way to build generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
It has been tried and true. I mean, we talked about it a bunch on the show that if you look back over the course of each decade, you know, home prices have appreciated close to 40% in a 10-year stretch, even going all the way back to the great financial crisis. So, I mean, it's still a great time to buy. We know we are definitely down in inventory. But, you know, here on the One Team, we are continuing to chug along. We may be down in inventory, but we're making things happen. And we're going to give you guys a recap of the last 7 days on this week's One Team Weekly Rewind. So even though we missed some days because of the holiday, it was a little bit slower. It got really cold all of a sudden. We got some snow coming in tonight. We were still able to have 2 new listings, 8 under contracts, and 4 closings in the last 7 days. Our first new listing, right down the street here from the office, 829 Goose Lane in Guilford. Have you guys seen this one?
No. I've seen the pictures. It looks like
hit the market for 1.9 million. It is. It's like something out of a Hallmark movie, right? If we get the snow tonight, like drive by there tomorrow.
The Gentleman's Farm. Yeah, it looks like
The Gentleman's Farm. It's 5 bedrooms, 4.5 bathrooms, 4,343 square feet, and it was built in 1810. This gorgeous farmhouse also sits on 5.5 beautiful acres. I mean, every bit of this looks usable. Absolutely. You know, I might just take you. That's a good idea. My next year's Christmas card. I'm going to wait for the snow to come in tonight, drive by there tomorrow or Monday,
bring
take a picture.
Bring your horse-drawn carriage.
Yeah. Send it out on behalf of the one team. We sold this house.
Well, there you go.
It's still active on the market for right now.
The big city man meets the girl from the country.
That's right. Where's Patrick Dempsey when we need him?
Yeah. But Becky from Full House.
Becky from Full House.
Did all those movies.
You know what? We should probably call up Hallmark, maybe put a plug out to him next year when you guys are coming to Connecticut to film all your Christmas
movies.
Movies
are made in Connecticut.
Yeah, I think this year alone there was like 7 of them.
I used to work in Essex at one point in time at an office downtown Essex, and like on a regular basis they'd be like, "Yeah, we're shooting a movie."
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like Essex, they do Chester, they do Mystic. Yeah. So all those like great shoreline towns.
Mm-hmm.
But as for 829 Goose Lane, you can step into history with this unparalleled opportunity to own a piece of Guilford's rich heritage, nestled in the historic Nut Plain section of town. This remarkable property holds a Federal-style home built in 1810 by Colonel George Foote. While officially addressed as 829 Goose Lane, the front facade, F-A-C-A-D-E, elegantly faces Foote's Bridge Road, where remnants of a 17th-century thoroughfare still exist. Wow, absolutely stunning property. Brought to the market by Nicole White. Great job, Nicole. Beautifully done. The pictures look great. The home is gorgeously staged, and if you would like a private showing of 829 Goose Lane, you can reach out to Nicole at oneteamct.com and schedule your tour today, because I don't think this one's going to last.
Yeah, don't
in any
show
kind
my wife
market.
Those pictures. She's gonna want to move.
Oh, Mrs. Skelly, here you go. You want to take a tour? I'm available. All right. Our other new listing was 567 Vauxhall Street, extension number 101 in Waterford, Connecticut. This office condo hit the market for $49,999, and it was brought to us by Rob Wallace. Want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, great, exceptional property. It is commercial. One space does have its own bathroom, which is rare in one of these. Also has two entrance points, one main frontage door, which is great. A lot of them don't have that. It is bottom floor and unit. Great HOA is 143, so it's not too bad.
143, and you guys did just accept an offer on this one, though, to close out the week. All right, so it is under contract, but if you would like to still maybe get in there and take a look at it or throw your name in the ring in case anything should happen, you can reach out to rob.wallace at oneteamct.com for 567 Vauxhall Street Extension, unit number 101. All right, under contracts, 8 of those bad boys. We had under contracts in Waterford. That's that Vauxhall Street, Bristol, Danbury, Middletown, Brantford, Meriden, North Brantford, and Durham. Closings, 4 of those bad boys. Congratulations to all of our buyers, sellers, and investors. We had closings in Madison, Plymouth, Norwich, and Middletown. I almost forgot the open houses. Martin McKinney and the boys and girls over at Service Station Equipment would have had my head if I would have done that for not rounding out the rewind in style. I do believe we have an open house going on right now, and it is up in Preston. That's a Lee Bar listing. Hang on, give me 1 second here. All right, what do we got for open houses going on today from 12 to 2 p.m., right when the show wraps, 197 Route 2 in Preston, Connecticut. You can head over there and say hi to Alan Spotlow. Again, that is 197 Route 2 in Preston, Connecticut from 12 to 2 p.m. today. And going on tomorrow, Sunday, January the 7th, you have an opportunity to head over to the third and final building at the residences of 66 High Street and tour all of the available units from 12 to 2 p.m. I believe Nicole White will be hanging over there at that one. So go say hi to her. Maybe talk to her about her new listing over at 829 Goose Lane and see the gorgeous award-winning final building of the residences at 66 High Street. Now that's officially going to do it for this week's One Team Weekly Rewind, brought to you by Service Station Equipment. All right, so we've been talking a lot of numbers, a lot of Connecticut numbers. We've got some really bright spots here. Like I said, out of those 384 metros, Connecticut made the list with 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
All of them with 50% or more increase since March of 2020. Most of them up at least 7%. We know that New London County was 11%, which is just a massive number. Because living out in New London County and doing a lot of business out there, and Rob, you do too, you know, we haven't seen the inventory. Like, you know, New Haven County has been pretty consistent with their inventory. We're still way down, right? We're not, you know, saying that. But with the amount that comes on, they just have it's going off just as quick. And in New London County, we just don't have a lot coming on for whatever reason. But what does come on is getting snatched up very, very quickly. So we're going to look a little bit closer at some of those numbers. And we're also going to bring you some projections by some of the big hitters out there. We've got Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Zillow, and all of the other big analysts out there about what they expect for 2024 when we come back on CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. We are back on CT Real Estate Radio. Chaz Cook and Rob Wallace of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, joined by Brian Skelly of William Ravis Mortgage. If you would like to reach out to Brian Skelly and see what your buying power is, if you're still looking in this competitive market, you can reach him at scheduleloanappointment.com. And you're going to be giving us a mortgage update, rate update here, in just a couple of minutes. But we were talking about predictions from some of the top analysts in the country. And we're going to break down an article where we have predictions from Fannie Mae, Goldman Sachs, Realtor.com, Redfin, National Association of Realtors, Zillow, Ivy Zelman of the Zelman Group, and Ryan Serhant. Now, these are some of the biggest names out there. They have more data than anybody else out there. And they've got predictions. Actually, you know what? They've got predictions on mortgage rates, but I'd like to hear what is actually going on with the mortgage rates before we start talking hypotheticals here.
All right. Is that my cue? I'm up.
You're up.
Your cue. Okay. Sorry. Slipped my appointment there. Okay. Anyways. come on. Sorry. Phone's going off. Anyways. Yeah, things have been relatively uneventful in the mortgage news over the last few weeks, which is really nice to see. I think it's easier for people to make home buying decisions when you don't see big swings in the rates. You know, going from August to October, rates went up quite a bit. And then going from October to early December, rates dropped. So, you know, but basically last 3 or 4 weeks, it's been pretty steady. This week, on Monday, the first average rate was around 6.73, according to Mortgage News Daily. Ended the week on Friday at 6.76, so relatively flat. On Friday, there was a couple economic reports that had the potential to move rates, but they kind of canceled each other out. So first was the jobs report. The number of jobs created was 216,000, which exceeded the expected number of 170,000. So on its own, that had the potential to make rates go up. Generally, a strong jobs report is not good for inflation, and news that's not good for inflation is not good for mortgages. But shortly after that, a little bit later Friday morning, there was a survey that came out, which I don't usually pay a lot of attention to this, but it did affect the markets. It was the ISM, Institute of Supply Management, released their business owner survey.
Do they, what frequency do they do this survey? Is it an annual survey, quarterly survey?
Monthly.
Monthly, okay.
Monthly, yeah.
So something we'll have to start paying attention to.
So basically they ask a bunch of business owners, hey, you know, what is your outlook on, you know, how the economy is doing? Generally, if over 50% of the business owners have a positive response on their outlook about the economy, that's considered a good thing. So the previous month, it was 52.7. They were expecting 52.5, came in at 50.6. So still over 50%, mm-hmm. but worse than expected. So even though the labor market report was pretty strong, a lot of business owners are not as optimistic as they were before. So basically, canceled each other out, and rates ended the week pretty much not too much different than they started, creeping up a little bit. Not
so 6.76, we close out the week?
6.76 was the average 30-year fixed on Friday, according to Mortgage News Daily.
All right, and so we've got these predictions here, and we've got some rate predictions, and I want to get your feedback on this, Brian. But for all of 2024, so this is where they're looking, where they projected average mortgage rates to be for the year. So 12-month average. Everyone says we're going to stay under 7. I think we can all agree with that unless something catastrophic happens. They're even talking about having some rate cuts, potentially, mm-hmm. 3 of them this year. That's yet to be seen. But what's interesting to me is Fannie Mae, who is, again, has more information than your average, is expecting us to average 6.7% for the year. Realtor.com, 6.8% for the year. Redfin, 6.8% for the year. And the National Association of Realtors at 6.3%. Which one of these do you think is going to be most in line to what we actually see? We're talking predictions, so we're not writing this in stone.
Yeah, keep in mind, that's the average, too. So even though, you know, the average for 2023 3 was probably around 6.8. You know, there was times that it hit 8, and then there was times that it was lower. So actually, the average is probably a little higher than that. I'm guessing. But the 6.8 sounds about right. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. We can't expect to have good news every news cycle. I mean, we've been pretty fortunate the last couple months. Most of the news has been good for mortgage rates.
Well, quarter four was a tale of 2 6 weeks, right? The first 6 weeks, October, 2 weeks of November, we were at 8, mm-hmm. high sevens. And then all of a sudden things came like sliding down and we closed out.
Don't get me wrong. Six. I'd love to see mortgage rates drop to 5.5, but it's hard to get good news every month.
Right.
So there's going to be at some point there's going to be some bad news for rates and they're going to pop up. But for average rates, 6.8. I'll agree with what was that? Fannie Mae said 6.8.
Fannie Mae had 6.7. Realtor.com and Redfin had 6.8. Yeah. Rob, what are you
splitting
thinking?
Hairs at that point?
Yeah.
I mean, 3 rate cuts. Obviously, hoping for the lower end, but I'm mid to low sixes myself.
Okay. I think we're going to stay kind of right where we are now. And I think in the summertime, I think we do see a little bit of a pop. You know, we probably get down to around 6.4 by the spring. But then, you know, what happens every summer, right? Everyone goes on vacation, spending goes up. And what happens when spending goes up? Inflation goes up.
Yep.
And so I think we see a little bit of an uptick throughout the summertime there, which might slow things down. But then with the seasonality of it, I think in the fall, I'm going to go with 6.4 average for the year. I'm hoping for 6.25, but I think 6.4 is a little bit more realistic.
Yeah, I'll make the bold prediction. I don't think rates are going back down to 3 or 4% anytime soon.
I would agree with that. I would actually, you know, go take a trip up to the casino and put a couple of dollars on that.
Yeah, in my opinion, but I agree with that as well.
So, and I think people are getting used to what it is now. I mean, it's the new normal.
Unfortunately, won't see a lot of listings come up because of that, but mm-hmm.
There's one group, the ESR group, they expect the 30-year fixed mortgage rate of 6.7 in 2024 and 6.2 in 2025. Now, 2025 is a long ways away. We're sitting here on January 6, 2024, but I would be willing to bet if things continue on the path that they're on, we get like a 5.8, 5.9 in 2025.
Oh, yeah. And happen. It could happen sooner. I mean, it doesn't take a lot for that mm-hmm. to happen. I mean, you look, rates have come down almost 1.5% in the last 3 months, you know, so if we just keep getting more good news for mortgage rates and inflation keeps going down, that could definitely happen.
Right. And we're talking about just a general of, you know, conventional loans.
Right. Yeah. We're not getting into FHA, VA. We're not talking about buying down points. We're just kind of looking straight across the board there. But, you know, it can make a huge difference in buying power, right? Because we closed mm-hmm. out December 2023 for single family homes in Connecticut with a median sales price of, who wants to guess? Putting you on the hot seat.
Was it like in the 370s or something?
Oh, no, we haven't been at three set in the 370s since May of last year.
Okay.
We have seen a steady tick up all for a long, long time now. So in May, we were at 376,000. And just to kind of give some perspective, that quarter four where we were talking about rates at 8%, mm-hmm. October 390, November 393, coming out in December, end in the year.
Apparently, I haven't been paying attention when you do this part of the show.
$399,000 is the median sales price for the entire state of Connecticut on a single family home.
Wow.
So relatively affordable, even more affordable if you're at a 6.2 versus a 6.7, right? We're talking probably when we saw them come down from 7.1 to 6.6, you know, that took a person with $400,000 buying power up to 440. So, you know, if you're at 399, it's pretty much the same as a 4 and a 440. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you could be potentially able to buy above the median sales price. But I also want to look at New London County median sales price. We know how much they're up, right? But how much is a single family home in this county where the prices have skyrocketed? Anybody want to take a guess?
Counties are interesting because I mean, you're including Old Lyme and Waterford and Norwich, like all in mm-hmm. that number. And those towns are pretty, or then Stonington and Mystic are in there too. So it's, you know, you've got some towns that are certainly higher priced.
Right.
We're guessing the median sales
median
price,
sales
for
price single
County
family
here.
Home, New London County.
I'm going to guess this. So if this whole state was 399, New London's going to be lower. I'm going to say 356 is my guess.
Rob?
Yeah, I should know this. Things are going up and down really crazy. 350.
350 is hit on the nose.
Yeah, right. 350,000. So we should know it, and he does.
We closed out December 2023 for New London County with a median sales price of $350,000, which is still very affordable. I mean, I live in Niantic. We don't see very many homes come on for $350,000. And
yeah.
And taxes in some of those, I mean, like Waterford taxes are super affordable.
Waterford taxes are. East Lyme actually has affordable taxes.
Yeah, East Lyme's not bad.
New London has higher taxes, which I've never understood.
Usually, I've noticed all cities tend to have higher taxes. I think it's just because they have higher expenses for like fire department, police. Like,
okay.
You know, true. They got to pay pension for the, a lot of it's the pension.
The pension?
For all the police officers and firemen and everything. Well,
and to your point, yeah, with like the amount of traffic that goes through there. So there's more road work, more construction.
More construction. Yeah. Just generally more services that they provide that they have to pay for.
Absolutely. Right? And if you are looking in that New London County and you're, you know, at that $350,000 price point for the median sales price, I got to let you know, you got to be quick to act. And so you're definitely going to want to reach out to one of us at the One Team here, because we closed out December 2023 with only 418 homes for sale in the entire New London County. I mean, last time we had over 500. We have to go back to March of 2023. So we've been on a decline from there. So not great numbers, down almost 20%.
Well, yeah, earlier in the show, you missed it. We did the whole country. Byron said 425,000 homes for sale in the United States.
Yeah.
So I did a real quick Google, how many households are there? We did 131 million households. We divided the 425,000 for sale into the 131 million households,
0.3%. 0.3%
of households in the entire country are for sale right now. So
0.3%. You did the math without me.
We did
the numbers. The math.
I haven't done it on Connecticut. I don't know. We could do Connecticut now if you want.
Let's do it. Let's do the stuff on the fly here. Yeah. Total.
Right, how many houses for sale in Connecticut?
All right. Single family homes.
Now let's do condos too.
All right. All property types.
Yeah,
entire MLS. Types. How many homes are for sale?
All right.
6,127, which is down 22%.
All right, Googling households in Connecticut. All right, according to Google, this is the census data from 2018, 1.4 million households in the United States. Let's get the calculator out. All right, how many homes for sale?
6,127.
127 divided by, what did I say, 1.4 million?
Mm-hmm.
I think I said.
Yep.
All right.
You guys are missing this over here, but Brian has his old school calculator up. He's algebra class.
0.4%, 0.43%. So less than half a percent.
Less than half a percent.
If you had 1,000 people, 1,000 out of 1,000 homes, 1,000 households, only four for sale out
four
of 1,000.
Four for sale. Wow.
That's crazy.
Those are some staggering numbers, and that's the reality that we are facing here in this Connecticut real estate market. But we're going to continue to bring you guys all of this information, as well as all of the rates updates, what's going on here. And, you know, you guys have any closing remarks, really, before we go?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's the last day you can say it. I was told it's the last day you can say it. All right, and that's going to do it for us on this week's episode of CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.